Well, hello to everyone. My name is Paul Weber, and on behalf of Professor Syed Sattar, the co-founder of this lecture series, I'd like to welcome you to the Weber Training Teleclass, Utilizing Hospital-to-Hospital Partnerships to Strengthen Infection Prevention and Control. It is a distinct honor to introduce to you a very distinguished man. Now, many thousands of people in Africa participate in teleclass education, and I believe Dr. Syed to be an extremely important person to them and to us. Dr. Shams Syed currently oversees African Partnerships for Patient Safety, which is based at the World Health Organization headquarters in Geneva. He has led the development of this remarkably innovative program since its inception in 2008, to the point today where it is now thriving in 17 countries in the African region, along with partners in three European countries. Earlier this year, he also assumed responsibility for global partnership development at the WHO Patient Safety Agency. Dr. Syed is a U.S. board-certified preventative medicine physician with a background in primary care and public health in the U.K. He has focused his focused academic interest is in reverse innovation in global health systems. If that sounds kind of innovative, it's because it is, and because this is a tremendously innovative man. So to present Utilizing Hospital-to-Hospital Partnerships to Strengthen Infection Prevention and Control, it is my great pleasure to introduce Dr. Shams Syed. Shams, over to you.
Thank you very much for that very generous introduction, Paul. Greetings to you all from across the world, and I'm delighted to be with you all today for a teleclass that is focused on a subject area that is very close to my heart, and that is how partnerships between hospitals can be utilized to catalyze improvement. And in this case, today's teleclass is focusing in on how this can be utilized to improve infection prevention and control. So let's get cracking. Next slide. Looking at the objectives of this teleclass, the first objective is to focus on the mechanisms of operation for hospital-to-hospital partnerships. The second objective is to really think about how hospital-to-hospital partnerships can be utilized to leverage changes in IPC systems in all settings. And the third objective is to reflect on the utilization of hospital partnerships as a channel for reverse innovation. And I'll go into a little bit of detail on what we mean by that. Well, in order to meet these objectives, the teleclass will be divided into five sections. The first section focuses in on some of the context behind this partnership-based approach. The second section will focus in on the partnership model for hospital improvement, drawing very heavily on the experiences of African partnerships for patient safety. The third section will go on into a little bit more detail on the mechanisms of operation utilized through a hospital-to-hospital partnership. The fourth, on reflecting on how this can be applied to IPC systems. And finally, the fifth section will focus on reverse innovation in global health systems, with a specific focus on IPC systems. Next slide. The first section, the context, let's go back to 2002 to remind ourselves of how the patient safety program was initially formed. Back in 2002, a World Health Assembly resolution was passed on patient safety, and this involved all 193 member states of the world that recognize the need to promote patient safety as a fundamental principle of all health systems. Following on from that profound moment in the history of patient safety was really put on the world's agenda. Next slide. In this slide, we can see that the formed World Alliance for Patient Safety in 2004 really started to work on key and critical areas of patient safety, including infection prevention and control. Many of you are very familiar with the first global patient safety challenge, Clean Care is Safer Care, and its focus on hand hygiene improvement. Of course, this came with other initiatives, including the Safe Surgery Checklist, as well as work on research, and including how patients themselves could be involved in patient safety improvement. Next slide. Of course, that was at the global level, and it was the responsibility of each of the WHO regions to translate this global movement into regional action. This slide represents the different regions of WHO, and each region had to find its unique mechanism of translating global policy endorsement into action within the countries that they are responsible for. Now, turning in the next slide to the African region, in 2008, 46 countries in the African region came together and endorsed a patient safety technical paper. Now, this technical paper was a milestone in the history of patient safety in the African region, and it defined in, and you will see this in the next slide, 12 patient safety action areas. You'll see that the fifth action area is minimizing healthcare-associated infections. And this formed one of 12 action areas to somehow bring the different dimensions of patient safety together. Now, in September 2008, that was the call from the 46 countries in the WHO African region. But the question remained unanswered on how WHO would respond to this call. In the next slide, you see a book written by Nigel Crisp that you, many of you, will be very familiar with, called Turning the World Upside Down. It was around the same time, 2008 and 2009, that the global health world was really being challenged to consider the concept of shared learning, co-development, as opposed to a one-way transfer of knowledge from the so-called developed world to the developing world. And it is exactly at this time that African Partnerships for Patient Safety came into being. So in the next slide, titled Co-Development Built into the Program Design, this represents the first meeting in 2009 which brought together what we like to call the painters. And these individuals were tasked to build the program from bottom up through a partnership-based approach. And when we say the partnership-based approach, this was hospital-to-hospital partnerships, including six African countries and hospitals in England and in Switzerland. This was in 2009, and what emerged from that was a partnership model for hospital improvement. We're now transitioning into the next section titled A Partnership Model for Hospital Improvement. In the next slide, you will see the model that African Partnerships for Patient Safety has developed, co-developed with the initial partners. And there are three simple objectives which are easy to state, but of course extremely difficult to act on. The three objectives. You can see the model twinning between a European APPS hospital and an African APPS hospital, focused in on three objectives. The first objective being partnership strength, so somehow really focusing in on the strength of the partnership and making sure that all the work is embedded within a strong partnership. Second, hospital patient safety improvements, specifically framed around the 12 patient safety action areas that we touched upon in the context setting. And finally, the third objective, to make sure that this learning on patient safety improvement, infection prevention and control improvement, informs national systems and can spread from hospital partnerships to national systems. Let's take look at each of these objectives in turn. Next slide. What is a partnership? Partnership, the word, is used in multiple settings, multiple contexts, but really, to think about partnership, one has to go to basic principles. And in fact, going back to these apps painters, they were tasked with coming up with a definition of partnerships that they did. Now, this definition of partnership that was formulated by the apps family has now been used in many different settings. And it's worth taking a moment to really examine this in detail. Partnerships can be defined as a collaborative relationship between two or more parties based on trust, equality, and mutual understanding for the achievement of a specified goal. Partnerships involve risks as well as benefits, making shared accountability critical. Now, the two sentences actually, support each other. Concepts, when not grounded in reality, can be difficult to action in the long run. Trust, equality, and mutual understanding, of course, are critical, but at the same time, there has to be some shared accountability to make a partnership productive and make a partnership work to improve IPC and patient safety. So looking at the next slide, these were the sociological perspectives that informed this definition. Absolute interdependence. What do we mean by that? When a hospital is partnered with another hospital on a focused outcome, there is a feeling of interdependence, absolute interdependence. There's a feeling of trust, mutual accountability, collaborative relationship, and shared power. These are sociological constructs that inform the definition, and in particular, the concept of shared power was particularly relevant when we think about the history between Europe and Africa. Let's come to the second core objective, which is patient safety improvement. In the next slide, we come back to those 12 patient safety action areas, and we look and see that number five is minimizing healthcare-associated infections. All the work of the partnership is focused on patient safety improvement framed around these action areas, and we aim to think in a layered manner so that there can be a connection between each of the components of patient safety improvement. And each area is, of course, complex, but the aim is to somehow strive for some simplicity on the far side of complexity through these partnerships. Next slide. We can see, just thinking about two of the 12 action areas, and perhaps we can take the left slide to think about in the first instance, the improvement continuum and healthcare-associated infections. We all know the importance of hand hygiene improvement, but this, of course, contributes to healthcare-associated infection prevention, which in this framing contributes to improving patient safety. But patient safety is, of course, not a free-floating concept, and patient safety itself is improving and contributing to quality of care, which in turn enhances health systems. And finally, and of course, this is our final destination, enhances population health. Now, each of these components of the continuum can be utilized to target specific audience. When we are engaging with frontline health workers, they're really often very interested in the upper part of this continuum. What is it really mean to a healthcare worker? They want to improve hand hygiene. They want to see that improving both the outcomes related to them as well as to patients. But when we're talking to policymakers, they may be a little bit more interested in how this continuum goes all the way to health system strengthening and enhancing population health. Of course, this itself could be a subject of a separate teleclass, but I just wanted to touch on this continuum and how that can be factored in to partnership work. Next slide. Let's come back to the third core objective, which is national spread. So if you can imagine that there are improvement experiences sitting within the partnership, how do those experiences move away from an isolated experience to informing national systems? Well, one of the ways to do that is to influence vertically and think about national engagement at the political level. The other way is to think about it from a horizontal perspective, replication and expansion to other hospitals and other health facilities. And of course, human beings can be spontaneous, and we shouldn't forget about that. And certain things happen spontaneously in different countries in terms of patient safety spread. Let's take an example. In Uganda, a rural Ugandan hospital was one of the early partners, one of the painters, for lack of a better word. And the change in the rural Ugandan hospital led to a presidential award, which was a huge achievement for the small hospital in rural Uganda, 10 hours away from Kampala. Interestingly, that experience was actually shared at the World Health Assembly in 2012, which included a keynote from Sir Liam Donaldson. The next person to speak straight after Sir Liam Donaldson was a medical superintendent from Kisizi Hospital, and he portrayed how patient safety change can be implemented in a rural Ugandan hospital through a partnership-based approach. So we can see that change can be contagious, and the local can influence the global, and the global, of course, can influence the local. Through this process and through this working, there have been a number of key learnings that have emerged that sit within reports that are publicly available within the WHO website. But in the next slide, we can see some emerging learning from APPS implementation that I wanted to bring to the attention of the audience today. Let's pick up on a few key points. It's certainly not rocket science, but it's worthwhile thinking through in a systematic way. So let's look at patient safety teams. It's quite clear that when we have worked in hospital partnerships, the teams that are formed have been the crux of the change. And early formation of a patient safety team was critical on either arm of the partnership to drive change. And in situations where the team hasn't formed well, the partnership has not worked as well as in others. And with time, specific teams need to be formed for specific patient safety action areas. This has been a key element of the work. Another area which I think it's worth highlighting is the importance of measurement. Measuring progress over time has been very useful. It has been a challenge in many of the settings that we work in, but the partnership has allowed a nudging of those measurement processes. So that itself has been an outcome. Finally, just picking up on the last point, basic infrastructure is something that we cannot shy away from in hospital partnership work. So attention is required to basic infrastructure issues at the same time as patient safety interventions. So, for example, partnership working can be a channel for action, but basic equipment is necessary. So those discussions have to be grounded in reality. When sinks aren't available, then one has to think about them, and the partnership has to tackle that in a realistic manner and catalyze change. So, for example, when one of the situational analysis in the first wave of partnerships identified a lack of a functional incinerator, this is the type of change that can be catalyzed through the partnership. We'll come back to the next slide in the next section, but this is just to demonstrate that the tools and resources that exist for the partnership work have been developed over a period of time, and you'll see this slide demonstrates how you can get started, how you can prepare, how you can act with focus, and how you can sustain. So let's look at the next slide, traditional versus partnership-based approaches. Just to highlight here a number of things. Clear that the partnerships are a very different way of doing. And at the heart of the work is a difference between the partnership-based approach and the traditional approach. And some key points in relation to this include the mutual benefits that partnership hospitals benefit from, the focus on often donated time, either institutional or personal, and the fact that there is an element of human interaction which is sustained over time that really is the hallmark of the partnership-based approach. Human interaction really forming a passion channel. So finally, where local meets global, I already mentioned the experience of the Chisizi partnership. There is an increasing recognition of the partnership-based approach, and the Chisizi-Chester partnership has been highlighted in the WHO front page as a story, and this is emphasizing that human interaction really can make system change possible. Next slide, coming to the World Health Assembly this year in 2013, it is interesting to note that the program African Partnerships for Patient Safety was included in a progress report submitted by WHO to all 194 countries of the world. Now, we don't say that in this teleclass for any other reason, but to instill in those that are listening that this is a potential way of catalyzing change in whatever systems you are involved in. Let's move to the next section, hospital-to-hospital partnerships, mechanisms of operation. This is really the crux of the matter, and I will try to go over six simple steps in turn. In the next slide, you see a very basic, simple six-step process, starting with step one, partnership development, step two, needs assessment, step three, gap analysis, step four, action planning, step five, action, and step six, evaluation and review. Now, that's certainly not rocket science, and each of these steps has supporting tools and resources that have been co-developed by the partnerships that I mentioned earlier in the teleclass. Let's go to the next slide. Again, coming back to the 12 patient safety action areas, just to remind everybody that the work involved in the hospital partnership is framed around these 12 patient safety action areas. And in the next slide, just to remind everybody that the improvement continuum is at the heart of the work. So having a reasonably clear entry point for each of the 12 action areas, and in this case, hand hygiene improvement, that can really focus and drill down activity to working to improve ultimate patient safety and quality of care. Let's look at our next slide, slide number 28. Helping you get started. Now, this document and all of these tools and resources are available on the WHO website. This tool is really the starting point, and it's the culmination of work over 3 years in learning and doing with partnerships that have been intimately involved with the app's work. This was launched in November 2012. It's four new and existing hospital-to-hospital partnerships, so essentially anybody that is listening to the teleclass can pick this up. And it presents a step-by-step framework for action, and for each of the six steps that I've highlighted in a few slides before, it highlights the main activities, the outputs or deliverables, core tools and resources, and additional available tools. So it really does provide a manual for working. And as I highlighted before, that the tools and resources that are represented in this next slide support each of those six steps. Next slide. Let's go to step one, partnership development. Now, looking back at what we discussed earlier, the partnership definition, it really is a critical element of this first step, partnership development. Now, there are many definitions of partnerships. The key here is to somehow get the hospital-to-hospital partnership to agree on a specific definition and really understand what that means to the partnership. The words are not as important as the feeling and the meaning that lie behind the words. Next slide. So developing the principles from the bottom up. This is the process that was utilized with the APPS partnerships, but of course, each hospital-to-hospital partnership can define its own way of doing. But the key components of the principles that often underpin these partnerships include shared vision and joint planning, ownership, relationship, communication, and ways of working. And again, all of these resources are available on the WHO website. Coming to step two, needs assessment. Now, this is probably, and it's very hard to prioritize any of the steps, but if there was one thing that a hospital-to-hospital partnership was going to do to enhance its effort, a well-structured needs assessment is the key to success, and we have found this as a repetitive theme in the work that we've been involved in. When we come to needs assessment, next slide, we focus on a patient safety situational analysis. Now, why is this important? First, it identifies gaps, but secondly, it also identifies assets. And this should not be underestimated. If we're always looking for deficits, we will continue with a deficit mentality. But there are times when we have to look for gaping holes, but there are other times that we really need to focus in on the assets that can be built on. And the situational analysis tool, which was again co-developed by the initial hospital partnerships, is really the baseline of the work. It's a point of reference, and it's a point of reference to review against over time. And it essentially helps build those patient safety teams that we were discussing earlier on in the teleclass. There are two ways of doing this in terms of the APPS tools. One is a very rapid situational analysis, which can be undertaken through using a short form, which is put forward in the slide. But there is a longer version of the patient safety situational analysis that can be utilized to harness qualitative information as well as yes-no answers to specific questions in each of those 12 action areas. If we move on to the next slide, gap analysis, a very important part, of course, but with that caveat that it's not just about gaps, but it's also about assets. And when we are looking at gaps, we can think about what the first steps might be in filling in those gaps. So in the gap analysis stage, and we can see that on the slide here, there is a clear first port of call in this document called Improving Patient Safety First Steps. And again, this is really not rocket science, and these were key first steps that were identified by the hospital partnerships that came together for APPS. And what we've tried to do here is to synthesize some of those key first steps. So for example, in terms of infection prevention and control, the five first steps, which really focus in on policy, on assessment, on the development of leadership, on the production of alcohol-based hand rub, and developing simple surveillance systems. Now, all of these areas clearly require extensive technical input, and that's where the partnership actually comes in. If you can imagine that a hospital-to-hospital partnership involves infection prevention and control experts, then the amount of time that they're devoting to this is really substantial at times. And if you are inclined to think about things in monetary terms, a week of consultant time can be huge in terms of monetary value, but more importantly, the trust and the human interaction that occurs between frontline healthcare professionals can really harness this this energy that can improve and define the first steps for patient safety improvement. So while we're thinking about that, let's go to step four, which is action planning. Next slide. Again, in that first document, the partnership preparation package, there is a annex which outlines a very basic template, which is a hospital partnership plan. The structure is less important than the fact that you really have to have a partnership plan, definitely. And logic is the key. So there has to be some relationship with all the activities that you are, that one is conducting within a hospital partnership, some relationship between the activity to the output, ultimately to the outcome, and of course to the overarching goal. And certainly the certain principles of action planning that many of us know well, the action plan has to be simple, it has to be realistic and grounded in reality, it has to have some immediate beneficial effects, and it has to be costed, both in terms of human resources and dollars. Let's turn to the next slide, step five, action. When we think about step five, action, the first port of call here in the next slide is a representation of the patient safety resource map. Now, what is this? This is also available on the WHO website. The key here is that this map identifies systematically a collation of technical resources in each of the 12 action areas that we have defined earlier in the teleclass. It's for hospital-to-hospital partnerships, or for that matter, any hospital that's looking to improve systems, to go into this resource map and extract those technical resources that have a clear relevance to their work. It's somehow trying to make it easier for those that are busy doing to somehow click away at web-based free resources that can be utilized for action for patient safety anywhere in the world. Step six, evaluation and review. Now, without going into heavy details on this, clearly this itself could be a subject matter for a separate teleclass. The next slide emphasizes the importance of moving from principles to measurement. And with that in mind, evaluation within the APPS framework has been key, and evaluation of all three objectives has been core to the work. So patient safety improvement tracked through situational analysis, but also hand hygiene self-assessment. Secondly, partnership strength, which I really emphasize the importance of, are examined through the APPS partnership evaluation process. And in fact, that's probably one of the early attempts at measuring the strength of hospital-to-hospital partnerships. It's a very virgin field, and a lot has to be done in this area, but this is an early attempt to measure the strength of partnerships. This is also available on the website freely. And finally, through a very basic approach, the spread of improvement can be tracked through utilizing the evaluation mechanism on a regular basis. So, next slide. Clearly, those six steps are simple enough to state, heavily complex to do, but if you had to chop down a tree, one might spend six sharpening the axe. Abraham Lincoln, if he had eight, he'd spend six sharpening the axe, and perhaps by looking at those six steps, one can think about how to sharpen one's axe before going in for the kill to improve patient safety and infection prevention and control. So for those that are interested, we welcome the involvement of hospital-to-hospital partnerships or any individual or any institution that wants to learn more on hospital-to-hospital partnerships, specifically to improve infection prevention and control. And there is a clear mechanism for registering with the African Partnerships for Patient Safety, either as a community member or indeed as an apps implementer. Next slide. Let's come to a few further reflections on hospital partnerships and IPC systems. Next slide. The improvement continuum in hand hygiene we've already described, and this heavily emphasizes the importance of having a clear entry point for action on IPC. We recognize that. Next slide. Looking at, again, just taking a case, an example, the Chester Kasese Partnership, the patient safety action areas that they defined as important to them after conducting the situational analysis in all 12 action areas were the following four, which included healthcare-associated infections. And the partnership activities, just to bring it to life, were very simple. Partnership visits, regular partnership calls, and technical input via email. And through this process, what did they do? They built training systems within the hospital on the African arm of the partnership. They implemented hand hygiene interventions. They worked on healthcare waste management systems and infrastructure changes. And they also looked at other aspects of patient safety, which were focused in on safe surgery and medication safety. Next slide. Looking a little bit more on the hand hygiene and hospital infection control piece, the partnership worked heavily on training everyone within the hospital. And they really did mean everyone. So it didn't involve just the doctors or the nurses or indeed allied healthcare workers, but everybody, cleaners, everybody. So this was focusing in on developing a mechanism of training that would be applicable to the local context. And in fact, that same mechanism of training is now being utilized in the health facilities that surround this rural Ugandan hospital. At the same time, product innovation was key to the success of their endeavor. Third, culture change. How did they do that? Well, they had something clear and tangible to work on, which was hand hygiene, but they did focus in on the knowledge and learning that any change is embedded within. And they had a clear and heavy focus on leadership within the hospital. Finally, measurement was key, and this was true for all the partnerships that have been involved. And this is a key lesson for us, is that if it's looking at the improvement continuum, if one does look at hand hygiene, then clearly the hand hygiene self-assessment framework that many of you are very familiar with is a clear and very adept tool. In terms of looking at IPC systems, there are clear tools to measure and examine IPC systems so that they can be tracked over time. In terms of patient safety as a whole, the patient safety situational analysis tool that we've described previously in the teleclass is something that can be utilized. And of course, wider measurements are also clearly evident in many hospitals throughout the world. So one has to adapt all of these measurements mechanisms to the systems that exist within local context. Let's drill down in the next slide to innovative processes. Now, in Kasese Hospital, 10 hours away from the capital, Kampala, in Uganda, alcohol supply was very limited. They were having problems with the alcohol supply. They decided to think on their feet and utilize local alcohol produced from bananas so that they would have a steady supply of alcohol-based hand rub. Now, that's local innovation dealing with a local challenge. To learn more about specifically the implementing infection control through a patient safety partnership approach in Africa, I would heavily recommend the teleclass that is scheduled for October the 9th, where my colleague Julie Storr will be going and drilling down into further detail on this. Given our time constraints, we'll move on to the last section, which is reverse innovation in global health systems. So, again, drawing on the experiences of African partnerships for patient safety, we can see that the model that we've described earlier has a bidirectional arrow between the European APPS hospital and the African APPS hospital. And that itself is a subject of a big debate. Should that arrow have been drawn a few decades ago, perhaps it would have been a unidirectional arrow. But given that this was being developed by the hospital partners, there was a clear insistence that this is a bidirectional arrow and for real reasons. The program emphasized the importance of bidirectional learning and the fact that knowledge, skills, ideas flow back and forth between Europe and Africa. So in the next slide, we ask the question, well, what are the key benefits of partnering with developing countries? And in the next slide, the early attempt at this was for the program to review what benefits have accrued to developed countries through partnering in developing partnerships. Now, this was conducted and published in a journal called Globalization and Health, and it was a first attempt at understanding the nature of flow of benefits to developed countries. And while there were many examples that came forth, it was very important to recognize that the knowledge base on this is very virgin. But each of the WHO health systems blocks, and this is the next slide, if we go from service delivery to health workforce to information to medical products to financing to leadership, all of these areas had examples of learning that has flown from the so-called developing world to the developed world. If we look at one of those examples, the example in medical products of kangaroo mother care. Now, this is a very interesting story of how a need in Bogota, Colombia in the 1970s instilled a need for some way of dealing with a situation where there were premature babies with no incubators. And the solution, which was locally derived, was a skin-to-skin continuous contact. And this is, as many of you know, is applied everywhere for a range of benefits. So this is global application from a local solution derived from the so-called developing world. So building on this, and this is directly from that publication, 10 areas in the next slide with high potential where developed countries have the most to learn from the developing world. These are, of course, postulated. Providing services to remote areas. This is something that certainly has drawn the attention of remote health systems in Europe and in North America. And if you look at the list of 10, any one of these could provide a definite bed of developing ideas and thinking about what key innovations could flow from the so-called developing world to the developed world. So what is the applicability of these concepts to IPC practice? In the next slide, we ask that question. And Early musings on this are represented in the next slide, and this was actually presented at the ICPIC conference in Geneva. Looking again at the six health systems blocks, could one imagine in the IPC community a flow of innovations that from low-income countries? Let's look at the question, community-focused approaches to hand hygiene. We know that the communities are involved in a lot of detail work in African settings specifically. Can those experiences be harnessed for community-focused approaches to hand hygiene in Europe and North America, for example? Training in communicable diseases in developing countries, health workforce development. This is something that has recurrently emerged in the literature, how individuals, professionals that are moving from within the hospital-to-hospital partnership framework come back with specific competencies, specifically in communicable diseases, for example. In information, can the use of mobile technology used for infection control that's being utilized already in many African settings, can that be harnessed for use in Europe and North America? So the questions are really for us to explore and think about how these possibilities could inform health systems in the coming decades. So next slide, co-innovation in global health, learning from the South. We have just outlined some of the core elements of the paper. But building on this and really advancing the knowledge pool in this area is a special series on reverse innovation in global health systems. Now, what is the focus of that? Next slide. The next steps in this, actually, in fact, tomorrow, August the 30th, 2013, a batch of papers will be published that focuses in on this. And submissions have been from throughout the world, and ultimately we're coming to a initial batch of papers which is going to be launched tomorrow, which gives an idea of different examples, different thoughts, different perspectives on the flow of knowledge from low-income countries to high-income countries. The key thing meant to mention here, although this is reverse innovation in global health systems, the ultimate destination is, of course, co-innovation in global health. And this series, and I encourage you all to have a look at this, has really pushed boundaries in this area, and it really does challenge and rethink our traditional practice and our way of thinking. So that is the end of the teleclass. We have taken a very, very quick whistle-stop tour of how hospital partnerships can be used to catalyze change. Of course, the subject matter is itself ripe for a lengthy discussion, but what we've tried to do today is to distill some of the key elements of that. For more information, of course, please do visit the website for African Partnerships for Patient Safety, or really just drop us an email. We would be very happy to hear from you. And with that, I thank you for your attention.
Dr. Sayed, thank you very much. That was very interesting. I've been involved peripherally with an organization in Canada that is partnering with a group of hospitals in Cameroon, but not on a so structured basis as what you're proposing in the African Partnerships for Patient Safety. Do you have many North American hospitals? Do you have any North American hospitals involved in that plan?
Thanks for the question, Paul. We are very excited because just this May we launched an open registration mechanism for any hospital anywhere in the world that's involved in a hospital-to-hospital partnership to register with the program. Recognizing that the initial phase of the work was European-African partnerships, we have this May launched this mechanism of engagement, and we have received quite a lot of interest from across North America. And Indeed, in the next few months, we will be focusing in on providing some more detailed information to all those that register their interest. So we welcome that very much from Canada, from other parts of North America, and throughout the world.
Now, what about associations that are not specifically hospitals, but, for instance, a chapter of APIC or of CHICA or of the IPS or something like that? Will you? Are those organizations involved in APPS, or need it be necessarily a hospital?
The main focus of the work are hospitals, but we recognize, and exactly the question that you've just raised has been asked many times, we recognize that we want to involve organizations that have an interest in this mode of working. So again, any of those organizations that you've mentioned, we would be very keen for those organizations that are interested to register, to become a part of the community. And the community is a community that's focused in on the partnership-based approach to improvement. So anybody, and in fact, any professional, any organization, any hospital that is interested in hospital-to-hospital partnerships as a mode of improvement, we welcome their registration, and we would very much welcome an opportunity to engage with them to really spread the word on this mechanism of working.
It leaves me only to say again, thank you. Thank you very much for that presentation. I enjoyed that very much, and I wish you a great deal of success with that. I hope that you will allow Weber Training and Teleclass Education to continue to be involved, at least at some level, because we are very invested in infection control and healthcare in Africa, and this is something that's very dear to our collective hearts. And lastly, let me acknowledge our patron sponsors, Virox Technologies, the World Health Organization, and the Center for Research on Environmental Microbiology at the University of Ottawa, for their support. Again, Dr. Syed, thank you again very, very much. That was a very useful time. I'm glad we did this, and I hope that you will entertain an invitation to come back again before too long.
Thank you very much, Paul. Very much appreciate it.
And to the audience, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon. Goodbye.